Second, JJ.
Yeah.
Good question. So, two different cities were taken up. It was Enix City, but also Melchizedek, right? And he was the king of
Salem.
And then that's where Jerusalem was built. Right? Jerusalem was built.
Yeah, it doesn't say Salem was taken up though, but he says he brought peace in his realm at that time. But not very much is written about him, unfortunately. There's some on the Dead Sea Scrolls and stuff that gives a little bit of additional light.
He was the King of Peace, King of Salem, who was the father of Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting connection.
Yeah, they say he's like a prototype of the Christ, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting, in the Book of Hebrews it says he was unborn, and... that was his association with Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, his spirit came and entered into his body, so he was never physically born in that age anyway. But in the times of Abraham, he was probably physically born, but not in the days of Jesus. Okay. It's notable that... DK equates the spiritual hierarchy with the kingdom of God. He says, "Forget not that this kingdom, or aggregate of souls, is what the Christians call the kingdom of God, and the occultist calls the spiritual hierarchy of the planet." But in the book of Hebrews, it says something interesting, that indicates there's quite a bit more in the spiritual kingdom than these 49. "But you are coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of judgment made perfect." So we have an innumerable company of angels that's in the kingdom of God on the other side. But the difference with the hierarchy is they are on this side. There's just a handful of entities on this side of the veil, which are in incarnation, yet all their consciousness is in the kingdom of God. So the hierarchy is part of the kingdom of God, but they're extended down here to the planet to work with humanity. But on the other side of the veil, there's an innumerable company of angels or beings that are participating there. And innumerable means too many to count.
Are a lot of them just on the etheric plane and not really in the dense physical?
Yeah, the people in the kingdom of the soul, so to speak, they're not only from this planet, but many different planets. A representative on the other side of the veil, so it's almost without number there, but the number is very limited here. But that's just for a short time period, because slowly we have people evolving and becoming masters. The latest we have in the writings of DK is from around 1949. So since that time, there might have been quite a few added to the number of masters. And eventually that kingdom will be composed of, I would say, millions and eventually billions before our evolution is over. But right now it's just a small handful. And at one time, it was just pretty much the Christ. And before that, it was entities from other planets that came here to assist. Okay. "Concerning those who have progressed from the fourth kingdom to the fifth, that is, from humanity to the kingdom of God, it says the hierarchy might be defined as the sum of those sons of men who are no longer centered in the individual self-consciousness, but are entered into a wider realization, that of planetary life." Okay, planetary life. Okay, the wider realization of planetary life. And he points out that One of the big differences between the masters and just a regular human being is a human being is into just his individual consciousness, whereas a master has a group consciousness. And eventually, his consciousness engulfs more and more of the life of the planet itself, and eventually he identifies with the planetary logos itself, and then eventually finds the center of the planetary logos, of which he is a part. So there's lots of things for him to discover. It says the hierarchy is the custodian of that aspect of cyclic or planetary purpose, which we call the plan. So there's a plan of the hierarchy as a whole through emphasizing some important aspect. Matter of fact, in the great invocation, it says, from the center, which we call the race of man, let the plan of love and light work out. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. And what is the plan? He talks about the plan of the hierarchy. And what is that plan?
To link heaven and earth.
Right, to link heaven and earth. And what's going to happen when that's linked?
God comes.
Fourth and fifth kingdoms join.
The planetary hierarchy will mix and mingle with humanity.
Right, we will be able to communicate with the hierarchy then. Okay. What was once a direct communication between humanity and the spiritual hierarchy, he says, in these words, I refer to an aspect of an amazing enterprise upon which the hierarchy has embarked in this cycle. Its appearance, expression, and activity upon the physical plane, for the first time since it withdrew into subjective life and focused itself on the mental plane instead of the physical during the days of Atlantis. This was after a great war between the Lords of Shining Countenance, as he calls them, and the Lords of Dark Face. And he says the Lords of Darkness won the war, and they dominated. And they had to destroy civilization because it was so corrupt that Atlantis was completely destroyed over a period of time.
Through the flood.
And so the hierarchy withdrew, so they no longer commingled with humanity, because humanity had to then begin their evolution on a different track and evolve up to a point to where they could intermingle with hierarchy once again. So the spiritual hierarchy way back then, and this was millions of years ago, withdrew behind the veils and no longer directly participated in the physical plane. So this was a temporary defeat. And when we say the great invocation and we want the plan to work out, that's the plan to bring back the communication between us and the spiritual hierarchy. So it'll be like in the story of the Garden of Eden, where God was walking through the garden and Adam encountered him and talked to him, and Adam says, God says to Adam, what's your problem here? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree? And then after they ate of it, then there was a separation. And this is symbolic of this separation that happened very long time ago, and it put a veil between us and the hierarchy. But it hasn't been just 6,000 years, it's been actually millions of years. And so we're approaching a time that we can remove this veil, and I believe we'll remove the veil by creating the molecular relationship. He says, thus the plan will be restored on earth. This is symbolically referred to in the Bible as the Garden of Eden, The angel with a flaming sword will no longer guard the door of initiation into the kingdom of God, but will be transformed into the angel of the presence. Simultaneously, the door into the world of spiritual reality will open before mankind, and the door where evil dwells will be closed. And the hierarchy will eventually, under its head, the Christ, function openly and visibly on the earth. This will happen when the purpose of the divine will and the plan which will implement it are better understood. It's an interesting statement. We have to understand the divine will and how hierarchy is going to manifest and function before it can materialize. And then it says the hierarchy incarnates on the earth again, and for the first time since its last incarnation in Atlantean days. It is, however, a group incarnation, and not the incarnation of individual members. This is probably a subtle point too difficult for you to grasp. Doesn't it sound like he understands the molecule?
Where was that quote from, Joe?
That's from Raisin Initiations, page 334.
334.